I mean, it was publicized that the medical team. Okay, Andrew, you wanted to.
No, continue, dog.
Yeah, I mean, it was publicized by Cricket West Indies that our medical team was going to Bangladesh. And that conveyed a concern that we didn't perceive for the tours to England and to New Zealand. Do you think that was what was actually happening, or was it that they just did this extra? Because we didn't hear about the medical team going over to check stuff out on the previous tours. So it suggests to me that they were a bit uncertain about the quality, even though you vouched for it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, they may well have been. And look, I think it's good that the West Indies sent people over to check. I mean, with the England tour, the hotels were on the ground. So it was very easy to create the bubble in England. New Zealand have had a wonderful prime minister who's done a fantastic job keeping COVID to a minimum. They've stopped all flights in and out of the island. They're very, very strict, very strict. So those two countries almost look after us. Bangladesh has had a fair bit of COVID earlier in the year. And when I took my job with them back in August, September, I delayed a month or two until COVID died down a bit. And I was aware, you know, I wanted to know what they had in place as well before I traveled. Mm-hmm. And when I was convinced and saw everything they were doing, spoke to a few people, I went and I was able to even report back to some people and say, look, I'm in the very hotel you're going to stay in. It's very safe and they're doing everything. They want the cricket to go on, and the last thing they want is somebody getting COVID. They don't want it either. So they want it no more than any West Indian traveling there or any West Indian supporter would want them getting it. You know.
Let's look at the cricket. Do you think the West Indies can win this? Do you think they can win in Bangladesh?
Well, I think it's going to be tough. Because there's still some core players there. Blackwood's in good form. Blackwood's there. There are some big players in that team still who are travelling. It's clearly missing one or two big players. So it's a bit of a mix, isn't it? It's a mix and match side. Some genuine first team, one or two getting opportunities. And I love seeing young players getting a go and seeing what they can do. And this might be the making of a player or a comeback for a player. So I think that's a good thing. I don't think it's going to be easy to go there. I think the Bangladesh side is good. They're very good on their home soil. They know how to play their own conditions. And I think the Bangladesh in world cricket now is a far better team than when we played them back in 2012 when I was there then. So I think this will be a stiff test.
Would you be involved in any way in relation to that test series as far as Bangladesh is concerned?
No, I travel out at the end of January. So I go out, I'm basically running the A team or the high performance team. So I'll go out pretty much, almost, I might just cross over with the guys.
Right.
But I'm there from the start of Feb to the middle of March. And we've got a series against Ireland. So we play Ireland A out there. So I probably might say hello in the airport. I'll just catch them in the hotel. But that'll be just about it, really.
Final question before you go, because I know that you want to go pretty soon. You know, we're in trouble. There's no doubt about that in West Indies cricket. You've been there. You've worked with the West Indies team for a long time. Do you think Cricket West Indies is doing enough to improve our cricket, Toby?
Well, difficult one to answer. I mean, I know what I'd like to see. I would like to see a document. I'd like to see a real blueprint. I'd like to see a five-year plan. A five-year plan of investment. I'd like to see a plan of investment in some good practice facilities for the players, some better pitches for the players, some equipment to work with. I'd like to see a really good plan of how they're going to grow the game in the schools again. Mm-hmm. There's lots of things I think that could be done, because this isn't just about winning now. This is about getting the legacy back and, you know, the next 10 years and beyond, because everyone wants to see West Indies get back to where they have been, you know, number one in the world for a long time. And I think West Indies have got to drive that. I want to see a HPC come back. The best part of my coaching career was the few years I did with the HPC. But that was Sagicor money. And the minute Sagicor took the money away, the HPC pretty much fell away. I think the governing body should be driving a high performance centre. And I think if you look at high performance centres all the way around the world, whether it's England or New Zealand or Australia, they're not waiting for a sponsor to come and fund it. the governing body puts the money in. And I think it's really important. We know what we know the players who came through on the back of the HBC and how they talk about it. And we need to get that properly up and running, players living in, training regularly, because we've got to create a conveyor belt of players. We've got to find our next Jason Holder, our next Shannon Gabriel. We've got to find these players. I know the raw material's there. I'm not convinced we're doing everything to go and find it and work with it and get it coming through.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Toby Radford, former West Indies batting coach, coming through, talking to us. Happy New Year to you and stay safe.
Happy New Year to you and stay safe, everyone. Great to speak to you again, Andrew. Good show and good health to everyone.
All right. Good. When we come back, we're going to go to St. John's, Antigua, and talk to the CEO of Cricket West Indies. Of course, we're talking about Johnny Gray. But of course, Mason and Guest is brought to an association with our very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.
When the double draw, you're playing with the mega ball. It's tripling, you can triple your winnings just for one more dollar. Bronze mega ball,
30,000.
Silver mega ball,
40,000.
Gold mega ball,
50,000.
More and more and more, you're winning. Put down another dollar, and when you win, you holler. That's how you triple it.
Make your winnings even bigger. Call for the Mega Ball today. Promotion ends December 26, 2020.
The Mega Ball.
All right. This is Mason and Guests. I'm Andrew Mason, along with co-host Dr. Andrew Ford. We just heard from the former batting coach, Toby Radford. Let's go to St. John's, Antigua, and talk to the CEO, Mr. Johnny Grave. Happy New Year to you, Johnny. How are you?
Happy New Year to you and Dr. Ford and all your listeners.
All right. Yeah, well, good. And, well, I hope you're coping with COVID. In Barbados, there's been a tremendous spike recently. How are you coping?
We're okay here in Antigua at the moment, but obviously on high alert and vigilance, on the basis that all the medical practitioners in the region predicted a second wave following the festive period. And we've unfortunately seen that in Barbados, and we're obviously hoping and praying we don't see that in Antigua and other parts of the Caribbean. But high alert and vigilance at this stage.
Mm-hmm. I know that Barbados, they're supposed to be hosting some of the matches in the regional competition from, was it April to May, I think, for the first part. And then they'll be going off to Trinidad, the first two rounds. With this spike in COVID, would that affect Barbados? Are they high risk, or it's too early to tell?
I think it's too early to tell. Obviously, the West Indies Championship, our four-day game, we're looking to host two rounds in Barbados after Easter in April. And obviously, we hope and pray that we can, the situation in Barbados improves. But at the same time, what we're creating with cricket now is a biosecure bubble. So in a sense, it doesn't really matter where you are, because you're not really coming into contact with any of the communities in which you're playing cricket, because you are confined in the main to your hotel and accommodation and the cricket grounds that you're playing and training at.
Mm-hmm, I see. Now, in terms of the West Indies side, now a couple of housekeeping matters. When will the guys be leaving to go to Bangladesh?
They're starting to leave the region from Friday and on the weekend. So about half the squad are flying via New York and making their way to Dubai and onto Dhaka, and the other half are flying via London onto Dubai and Dakar. So two groups will be flying out. Due to just the complexities really of regional travel at the moment, with obviously the Trinidad border still shut.
And everybody's fit and well?
Yeah, we've had the first round of testing. We're still waiting on test results back, so we'll probably confirm that situation tomorrow. There's been a slight delay in the Barbados results, obviously understandable with the volume of testing that they have had to go through after the last 48 hours. There'll be second tests tomorrow. They will do two tests as they have done in the past prior to their travel, followed by a test on arrival, and then multiple tests throughout their time in Bangladesh.
But Johnny, I'm hearing, and I don't know if you can confirm this, that one of the West Indies cricketers actually tested positive for COVID.
Yeah, well, as I said, we haven't had all the test results back, and we will announce those results tomorrow. Right. Anyone that tests positive, Andrew, we would rule them out of the tour, unfortunately. So if anyone does test positive, they won't be travelling, and replacements would be selected.
Well, my information is that one of the players actually tested positive for COVID. That's my information.
As I said, we're going to make an announcement tomorrow once we've got all the test results back from the touring party. Okay. Well, and as I said last week, any player that tests positive, even if the results of yesterday or the results tomorrow prior to travel, unfortunately, we'll rule them out of the tour and we will pick them later.
All right. Well, we can confirm on Mason and Guest that actually one of the players actually has tested positive for COVID and will not be making that trip. So we stand by that because I've done all the investigations and that is the case. Doctor, do you want to comment on this as a pretty sensitive matter?
Well, I mean, it's not surprising, but what I'd like to know is if there are reserves for the two squads, have these reserves been already tested, just in case such a thing were to occur, as we've heard has occurred?
Yeah, absolutely. Part of our contingency planning is that, and that's exactly why we do these two tests prior to departure. We want to make sure that everyone that leaves the region has had two COVID negative test results. And as I said to Andrew just now, they'll then test on arrival and throughout the quarantine period, well, throughout the whole tour of Bangladesh, because they're maintaining a biosecure environment for the whole duration of the tour.
Well,
just to get back to that,
before you call in Dr. Ford, of course, you know, one of the cricketers from England, Moeen Ali, has tested positive.
Yeah.
That is very well known. And of course, in the Caribbean, there's a player who has tested positive for COVID-19. And as I said, I've done my research and, this is very much the
Andrew,
case.
Andrew, look, as I said before, we're not hiding anything. We're testing the entire touring party. And when we have all the results back, we will announce them. COVID-19 test is still medical record. So
right.
I don't think we should be speculating about players' private medical histories on live radio. So
okay.
I don't think that's appropriate.
Mm.
And if you've got access to information before we've made it public, then I'm not going to deny or confirm it.
Okay.
All I'm telling you is, as the governing body of cricket, we will make an announcement when we tested all the touring party, all their results back, and we will make that information available when the medical practitioners and the players consent to that information being made public.
Okay.
As I'm sure you would accept and agree is appropriate.
Okay, fair enough. Dr. Ford.
Yeah, right. Well, that's one of the points when Dr. Man Singh was on, the treachery of travel and the protocol of the final tests and having the 2-day quarantine. I think Moeen Ali and also our visitors to the region have proven that protocol seems a bit light. And the question is, I know the medical panel has said they are happy with the protocol, but I believe that what's happening currently shows that the protocol needs some strengthening. What do you think?
Mm.
Well, look, I think the whole point of us going through a pre-tour departure testing regime is to do exactly what we're doing. We did it before CPL and one or two players tested positive and therefore didn't travel, didn't enter the biosecure bubble. And part of ensuring the security of the biosecure environment is to ensure that everyone that enters in it has had at least 7 days worth of isolation and two negative tests. Clearly, we know that COVID is amongst our communities. We can't do anything about that. And therefore, we have very strict measures in place when someone does test positive in terms of the contact tracing. That's why players will go, when they land in Bangladesh, they'll go into 3 days of isolation. Where they'll be tested again on arrival and after day three. So that's exactly why we have these protocols in place. All the players that travel have had a huge amount of education from our medical practitioners in terms of it's not just traveling as a touring party, they're traveling as individuals. They need to keep themselves away from teammates, social distance, wear masks at all times, and sanitize because they have to act and behave like another member of the touring party may have COVID. I think when players do test positive, that's when the medical protocols really are tested and kick in. And certainly the pre-tour departure ones prove what a necessary requirement that is, because clearly if players did travel all the way to Bangladesh and then got tested when they arrive and be tested positive, then potentially the whole squad is more compromised and you're more likely to get multiple players or coaches or support staff test positive, which is what everything we're trying to do is trying to avoid that situation.
From a communication standpoint, though, Johnny, what was the harm in mentioning some of the standby players if they are already in the testing protocol and are there to mitigate any positive test results that would have occurred?
We didn't feel it necessary. You know, we've announced the two squads, we've announced the touring party. We've had calls with a wider selection of players around the Bangladesh tour because of the fact that we anticipated players may decline the opportunity to tour. Some of those players that said they were willing to go have undergone testing to, in case we got the situation where one or two players tested positive. And there's only so much we can announce, and we'll continue to act as transparently and provide fans as much information as we can. And as I said, tomorrow I expect to get the results back from Antigua, the results back from Barbados, and then we'll confirm which players have tested negative, if there are any positive cases, and if there were, who the replacements would be.
Okay. Johnny, looking at the fact that we've already had to have another team of substitutes, another episode of it in our recent history, and we're the only team that has this recurrent problem, what effect do you think this has realistically on the West Indies brand? Do you think it's good for the brand? And if it's hindering the brand, to what extent do you think this reality has hindered the brand?
Look, I think we all have to accept that we're all operating, working, living in very different times under very different circumstances. I think, you know, we made it very clear to the public, to the fans and to players that during this unprecedented time playing in these unusual circumstances, we would give the players the opportunity, if they didn't feel safe, if they didn't want to leave their families or they had reservations, that they would be, we would support their decisions not to tour. We've had players do that in the case of the England tour, both in the men and the women's. We had players pull out of New Zealand, and we've clearly had more players in Bangladesh, but that in part is because of the fact that we've had such a long period of playing cricket in these biosecure environments that are very different and very unusual for players, especially when we're expecting them to go out in front of the world and perform at their best. You know, we've had some of the biggest names in Indian cricket pull out of the IPL. This isn't something that is restricted to West Indies cricket. And also it is a temporary policy. It's not something that we anticipate lasting forever. It's purely to do with the unusual circumstances, particularly playing away from home. And we don't expect this policy to continue after the Bangladesh tour, because we've got four home tours that follow it, and we would expect all players to be available to play within the region.
What initiatives is Cricket West Indies involved in to mitigate bubble burnout?
Well, look, we've got the sports psychologist, Donald Aguirre, who travelled to England. He's travelling to Bangladesh. He provided long arm support to New Zealand tour and is in regular contact with all the players. The support staff are very aware of it. And we also have to be obviously conscious that this doesn't just apply to players. You know, our coaching staff, our medical practitioners, even some of the, you know, operational and medical staff at Cricket West Indies have been working, you know, extremely long hours in extremely difficult circumstances. And it is taxing to everyone's mental health. So, we're very aware of that, and that's why we put in these types of supportive policies. We put in more people to support the team and the support staff during these times. And we're also travelling, as you know, with a security and compliance officer. That as well is to do everything we can to ensure that the players are safe, and by default means they're going to be less worried about it if we can give them more support and more security whilst they're there.
On your last visit, you mentioned the TV rights, and you suggested that the negotiations were bearing fruit, and that the levels of the rates were in the high end of what you would expect. And my two questions are, is this high end COVID or a pre-COVID estimate? That's one. And can you give us any further information as to how things have progressed?
Yeah, I think I answered this question last time. So the valuation was done in June of 2019, so pre-COVID. The valuations were from the marketplace then. And as I said, all the draft contracts that I'm hoping we'll sign in the next few days or weeks are all at or above that high valuation.
Okay, things are progressing well as far as that's concerned?
Well, like I think always, you know, when you're dealing with global deals, things take a bit longer than you'd like. Our legal friends are going through long form contracts, which always takes more time than you would perhaps like. And the Christmas period for certain parts of the world have been a bit disruptive. But we're on track to sign multiple new media rights contracts within the next few weeks. And we're still actively involved in a number of markets as well.
Mm. Just before you go, John. Sorry, Doc. Yes, Doc.
Some may feel that Cricket West Indies isn't putting out a clear path forward. It's something that Toby intimated along the path of marketing and financial and cricket development, all the aspects that are required for successful cricket. Do you think that Cricket West Indies has been able to articulate and let the wider public know what's been happening and what the plans are for the future to improve the fortunes of the region?
Yeah, look, I don't think we can ever do enough. I don't think people probably fully understand how disruptive COVID has been to the business and the plans. I think people forget that we've made a multi-million dollar investment in acquiring Coolidge Cricket Ground here in Antigua, which is a 16 acre site that we now own as an asset, which we've never had in our history before. It's obviously a fully established cricket facility, and we've got massive ambitions to turn that into a genuine world-class high performance center, exactly as Toby outlined, with the major difference being that we fully own it. And not only does it have the potential to be a world-class cricket facility, it also has the potential to be a revenue-generating facility that will make it pay for itself. Mm-hmm. And I think we've tried to articulate that. I think those people that have been to Antigua, maybe watched the game at the old Stanford Cricket Ground, would all accept it's a fantastic site, uniquely positioned in Antigua for commercial activity. And I think we're very ambitious and confident that we can turn that into, as I said, the world-class finishing school high-performance centre for West Indies cricket for our men's and women's team. We've articulated how much we've invested in improved fitness standards across the region. You've had Chris Brabazon here on the show talking about how we now have our own coach education system and program, and how we had over 120 females on a coaching course only a few weeks ago during COVID. So that we can only do what we can in terms of communicating. We could always do more. I fully accept that. We've got a five-year strategic plan. We've been very, I think, vocal in the fact that schools cricket needs to improve, but it also cannot be just the governing body to do that. And we've tried to reach out to the governments to engage ministries of education and ministries of sport about re-establishing a partnership for schools cricket. We know that other governing bodies in world sport, particularly in cricket, have only been able to address school sports by working closely with governments. And that's the model that we want. And we've said that we want governments to invest in schools cricket rather than give us necessarily big fees for hosting international cricket. I think we've demonstrated as well that we've got a desire to spread international cricket throughout the 10 international venues in the region and do so on a equal and fair basis rather than that bid system, because we want any monies that the governments have to not just improve the facilities that Toby spoke about in terms of those national stadiums, but also invest in primary schools and secondary schools cricket with us, you know, with other agencies like the Caribbean Development Bank and private sector. And it takes all the stakeholders to come together to implement really robust schools and community programs that are crucial, not just for producing the next Jason Holder and Shannon Gabriel, but also about producing the next fan, keeping the culture of cricket being part of the DNA of being a West Indian. We want that to be embedded in our young people in the region, and they can use cricket as a platform to, you know, gain skills and lessons that can serve anyone well in life in terms of teamwork, leadership, discipline, being active, etc.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we want to thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead, Andrew.
Okay, we can let Johnny go pretty soon. I know that you would want to talk to him all day. He's your favorite guest on Mason and Guests. I know that he has to attend to some business. Just one final question before you go, Johnny. When can we get the itinerary for the Regional 50, Super 50?
We're hoping to be able to announce that probably within the week. We've had now 3 or 4 meetings with the Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Sport here in Antigua. Mm-hmm. We hopefully get into a position where we understand exactly the quarantine requirements and medical protocols for all the teams that will be flying in, mm-hmm. as well as the TV crew. And on the back of that, we'll be able to announce formally the fixture list that we're still just mm-hmm. tinkering, I would say, at this stage. But we're still very much working that the first games will be in early February here mm-hmm. in Antigua.
February the 7th, is that right? Can you confirm 7th, is that correct? First game?
Yeah, we're hoping that the first game will be on February the 7th, and we're hoping that the final would be on Saturday the 27th of February. That's the current plan.
And for the regional, possibly getting those fixtures soon as well? Barbados, I understand, and Trinidad will be hosting?
Yeah, that's the intention, is to play, as I said, the West Indies Championship after Easter, initially in Barbados and then on to Trinidad. And again, as soon as we've made a bit more progress with the BCA, the Barbados government, the TTCB and the Trinidad government will be in a position to announce that. But as I've said before, we're obviously living and working in unprecedented times with huge uncertainty. This is still best case scenarios and subject to everything, as you can imagine.
All right. Johnny, Happy New Year to you. Always a pleasure to have you on Mason and Guests.
Pleasure. Thank you very much. And Happy New Year to you and everyone again.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, Johnny Grave, the CEO of Cricket West Indies, we want to thank him for coming through and talking to us on Mason and Guests. All right, we're going to certainly talk to some of the big guns now. We see Sir Clive Lloyd is already on Zoom. But just before we go to Sir Clive, I just want to make the announcement and that Romario Shepherd of Guyana has tested positive for COVID-19 and will not be traveling to Bangladesh. And an announcement is going to be made very soon in relation to his replacement. We spoke to Johnny Grave just now. He said that the West Indies will in fact be making an announcement tomorrow. But I've done my homework and I can tell you on good authority that that is the case, that Romario Shepherd has tested positive and in fact will not be going to Bangladesh, and a replacement is going to be named by Cricket West Indies. That is very sad news for the young man. Lots of ability, but these things do in fact happen. And you heard it first on Mason and Guests.